Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning, Indiana. We pray for our country as the turmoil is continuously mounting between political philosophies. Of course, the radical, liberal, globalist, socialistic, and abortion-loving Democratic Party philosophy is absolutely disastrous for freedom-loving Americans and our constitutional republic. The radical Democratic Party agenda is based on the Antichrist system found in the Word of God. The war for the mind is on. Jesus tells the disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Where is the power of the church in America today, my friends? The church has lost its power because it has quenched and grieved the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist voices are drowning out the voices of the gospel, the only source of all freedom and liberty. You may argue the church has not lost its power, but I challenge you, if the American churches had the power of heaven upon them, the gospel, prayer and the Bible would still be taught and practiced in the classrooms of America's public schools, and we would not be witnessing this political destruction of our electoral process. The atrocious sins of America are due to a lukewarm church because they have lost their spiritual power. They have quenched the power of the Holy Spirit. Balaam is still alive and well, placing many stumbling blocks before us, upon which the churches have blindly fallen. Read about the false prophet Balaam in the book of Numbers, starting at chapter 22, and read the warnings to the churches in 2 Peter, Jude, and Revelation of Balaam's devices. Preachers, Christians, we need to be imploring the help of heaven in these latter days instead of gleefully desiring a stimulus check from the feckless demagogues that hold office in our morally and financially bankrupt governments around the country. Who are these feckless demagogues? They are the useless politicians that are trying to play God. Another stumbling block Balaam put out there is the hundreds of perverted and corrupt English Bible versions that have caused nothing but confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. Many of these versions have completely removed the word hell from the Old Testament, including Lucifer's name. Wow, I wonder who was behind that. What benefit is it to leave the Hebrew word Sheol in the Old Testament text instead of translating it for the reader? That is why this series on the messenger is so important for the God-fearing Christians out there who are so perplexed by the course of our nation. The nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Not Sheol, hell. See Psalm 9:17 in the King James Bible. Before the Lord's return, let's get our power back and have a real revival of holiness, truth, and biblical understanding. If my people, which are called by my name, who are God's people that are called by his name? Well, you have the Jews, were God's people in the Old Testament, and Christians are God's people in the New Testament. So, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. The best present we could ask for in this Christmas season is for God to heal our land, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Lord, heal us from all disease, sickness, and this engineered pandemic. But also, Lord, more importantly, heal us from our moral and financial bankruptcy. Let's get inoculated with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Messenger, Part 24.
2 Thessalonians, Chapter 2. The Holy Spirit is in control. God's in control. He delegates the control of the affairs of man. He gives us world leaders and leaders of our nations that we deserve. To put it in a sense, our conduct leads to the leaders we get. And that's a sad indictment, but that's happened in Israel. When the northern tribe broke away from the southern tribe, they didn't have one good king. They all followed a golden calf to keep the people from coming back into Jerusalem to worship with the southern tribe, the tribe of Judah. The king Jeroboam put a golden calf in two different cities and said, "Here are your gods. Now worship these." And so they didn't have one good king. One was worse than the next. And you had Ahab, one of the worst kings in all of Israel, in all of the Bible. And his wife was worse than him. She was wicked, and she wasn't even a Jew. Ahab at least was a Israelite, but he was not. He was wicked. And there's a point in time where Ahab repented, but his wife Jezebel, I forget who her daddy was. Her daddy was a king of some pagan land and city, and so it could have been Syria, could have been Assyria, I don't remember, but she was a very, very wicked king. And even the great prophet Elijah was scared of her, and even though he killed her prophets of Baal. But in Thessalonians, it says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled." Is America troubled? America is troubled, okay? Like I said before, there are people who are just elderly people who don't have any kind of link to social media, any kind of alternative news, and they are frightened to death in their homes. They're frightened to go out and to even go out and walk in the neighborhood. And if somebody is walking on the same side of the street, they divert away from them. And there's just this fear that America is troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, but by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. How much worse is it now? Let no man deceive you. Don't let ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and all the alphabet soup media outlets fool you, deceive you. Let no man deceive you. How can the church, people are saying, are you meeting together? Is your church meeting? You're not social distancing? You're not wearing masks. You're not limiting the number of people in the attendance of the church. I mean, we don't have thousands of people, but still, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner is, especially as you see that day approaching. The return of the Lord, talking about the return of the Lord. Let no man deceive you by any means, that for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. There's going to be a falling away. Thousands of people are sitting home not going to church. Thousands and thousands of people. They're falling away. There is a great falling away. Man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the abomination of desolation spoken of in Matthew chapter 24, and the book of Daniel speaks of it also, where the Antichrist will declare himself to be God. To be God. He will declare himself to be a God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that with that, now here it is. Now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Letteth means holding back. Letteth means there's one who is holding back the Antichrist system. It is the Holy Spirit in his believers. And when there's the rapture, the Holy Spirit, in a sense, is going to be the restrainer of this wickedness, is going to be lifted from the earth, and the wickedness is going to advance exponentially. You think it's bad now? Wait until you see what's in store for those on the other side of the rapture. That's why it says to be ready, watching, be prepared for the return of the Lord. Be sober. Don't be asleep. Awake out of your sleep. Because he's coming as a roaring lion. And I'm telling you, the world is going to be, there's going to be a zillion Pelosi's out there, and Schumer's, and Adam Schiff's. And they're going to control the world at that time. It's only for a short period of time, but you don't want to be living in that period of time. That kind of mentality. So we've been studying about the Holy Spirit in our lesson, the messenger. Lesson number 8. We've looked at who the Holy Spirit is, how many times he's called the Holy Ghost. That's in actuality, Holy Ghost is used more often in your King James Bible than the Holy Spirit. And so we looked at the various emblems for the Holy Spirit: oil, fire, the dove, and many other symbols that speak of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you get saved, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit, in a sense. The day of Pentecost was a very evident baptism of the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit first came upon the church, because their original comforter was no longer with them. He ascended up into heaven, but he is the promise of God. God said he would send a comforter. Jesus said he would send a comforter, and he sent a comforter. Why, you ask me, why, Pastor? I know you haven't really asked me, but I'm going to just say, it's a pretend question you have out there. Why is this series called The Messenger? Why is this series called The Messenger? The primary purpose for the Holy Spirit is to transmit the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The whole primary purpose for the Holy Spirit is to transmit the power of Christ's resurrection to mankind. Through you and I, as a vessel, as a talking head. I like that expression, talking head. But we have a mouth. We have a tongue. We communicate to people about all kinds of things. And it's the Holy Spirit that uses you to communicate your salvation experience and what God has done for you, what Christ did for you on the cross of Calvary, that he's no longer on the grave. He's not still on the crucifix. He's risen and ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father. That's the Holy Spirit transmitting the power of the resurrection of Christ. There's power in that. Buddha didn't rise from the grave. Allah didn't rise from the grave. Muhammad didn't rise from the grave. None of the gods, the pagan gods, rose. Zeus or Mercury or Neptune. They didn't rise up from the grave, from the dead. Jesus Christ, and he appeared to his people. It was a visible appearance, a bodily resurrection. And so that is the primary, that's why this is labeled the messenger. He is using you to send out this message. He's using you and me. He's using the church. This institution is not man-made. This is God's institution. And if we don't do it, somebody else will do it for God. The church is God's institution, strictly God's institution. And that's why he's furious with the church for marrying the state. So we've been dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the temple. Your body is a temple, and the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And we talked about the difference between being filled with the Holy Spirit and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Baptism is a one-time event. Being filled is an event that takes place over and over and over again. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Your body is a temple. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was the Shekinah glory that dwelt in the temple in Jerusalem in the Holy of Holies. In the tabernacle in the wilderness, it appeared as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. That was the Shekinah glory, the visible image of God, the manifestation of God. We talked about the Holy Spirit being the breath of God, a wind, pneuma. The Holy Spirit means comes from the Greek word pneuma, where we get pneumatic from. And so it speaks of breath, air. That's another image of the Holy Spirit. We talked about walking in the Holy Spirit and being sanctified. There's a walk. You have a walk, and we're going to see that again in Galatians here just a little bit. But being sanctification, there's justification, sanctification, glorification. Those three are part of the salvation process. There is the salvation of your body, soul, and spirit. You're a tripart being. You have three parts, just like there's the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. It is he is a person. He is not an it. And the Holy Spirit of God dwells in each of you because your body is a temple. And so there's a cleansing process. Last week we dealt with the washing of the Holy Spirit, the cleansing. We looked at the cleansing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's also a cleansing of the Holy Spirit, where he comes in and says, hey, time to clean house. Let's diminish your pride. Let's diminish your lust. Let's diminish your attitude. Let's diminish your bitterness, your hatred, whatever. Let's work on those things. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in convicting you, you know, as you become conscientious of the Holy Spirit working in you, you ask God to do a little cleaning, clean house. This body is your temple, clean house, Lord. Holy Spirit, help me to adjust to the image of Christ. We compared that with the two cleanings or the two scourgings and Christ going into the temple twice. At the beginning of his ministry and at the end, two cleanings of the temple where he purges the temple twice. We compare that to Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He told Peter, if you don't allow me to wash your feet, you're going to have any part with me. That means you're not going to have any part with me in the kingdom. Peter said, oh Lord, wash me from head to toe. And Jesus says, no, you don't need to be washed from head to toe because you've already been washed from head to toe in the blood of Christ, even though Christ had not died at that point in time. Baptism is a picture of a bath, pictorial. It's not a literal bath. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. It is a picture of the blood of Christ washing away our sins, the forgiveness of sins. But we need a second bath because as the apostles, we walk in the world and the picture is our feet get dusty, our legs get dusty from walking. They walked in sandals. That was customary to wash feet. And they walked in sandals all the time. We walk in the world. We get dusty. We get the world on us. We get spotted, right? It's sort of like you ever paint. You've done painting. Some of you taken a brush and a roller and painting walls in your house. What happens when you're going up and down the wall with that roller? It splatters, right? And you get paint on you, and you don't wear your Sunday best when you're painting because you know you're going to get splattered. I try not to wear a tie anymore because I get splattered by my food. I don't know what, but I think I have a hole in my mouth. But we get splattered with the world. So we need that Holy Spirit to do a second washing. So we dealt with that. So we're going to be talking about the manifestation. So in your notes, turn to page 15 and just go again and deal with that you are sealed. There's a sealing of the Holy Spirit, that we are sealed. It says, we are sealed unto God by the Spirit, and it is likened to a down payment, first fruits, advance, in a sense, you could say something to that effect, to the further promises and blessings of God thus to come. This seal inevitably secures to a child of God that they own eternal life. Unlike those who reject Christ altogether, it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. He being God, now God which established us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. We talked about and compared this last week. I just want to reiterate. Earnest money. What is earnest money means? You're going to promise to pay. You can lose that earnest money if you back out of a deal and renege out of a deal, of a contract. And so that's earnest money. You put that down as a way to seal the deal, in a sense. And so that's what it is. The Spirit is to seal the deal that you trusted in Christ and you have eternal life. And God is living within you. The indwelling Spirit is a confirmation, like a security deposit, of God's eternal promises. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says again, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Do we not groan at what we see all around us?
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.